The field for the Democratic nomination for U.S. Senate is already crowded. In rapid succession, Congresswoman Haley Stevens and State Senator Mallory McMorrow announced they were looking to replace retiring Gary Peters. So too is Abdul El-Sayed. This isn't his first foray into politics. In 2018, he came in second in the gubernatorial primary behind Gretchen Whitmer. He's also a public health expert, has degrees from the University of Michigan and Columbia, and was a Rhodes Scholar. For a check-in on the campaign, he's here in studio now. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
So lay out your platform for me.
All right.
Give me the quick 60.
I want money out of politics, money back in your pocket, and Medicare for all.
You have 57 seconds left over.
let me expound on some of this. The fundamental corruption of our politics has been as a function of the system that allows corporations and would-be oligarchs and billionaires to buy politicians who then rig the system so that corporations can charge you more for the things that you have to buy from them and pay you less for the work that you have to do from them. And I think that that issue foundationally is the source of so much pain, so much frustration. I've done 99 public events across 57 different cities. No matter where I go, people tell me, Abdul, it just should not be this hard. And so you have to take that issue on. From there, you've got to make it easier for people to buy the things they need and to work a job that pays a living wage. I think standing up and busting trusts is something we got to do in the year of our Lord 2025. I think guaranteeing healthcare is something we've got to do. I think we got to make it easier to join or form a union. I think we got to make it easier to build and scale a small business. And right now, our economy makes all of those things way too hard, and I'd like to fix that in a seat in the U.S. Senate.
Fair to say that your politics track to the left of your Democratic primary opponents in Haley Stevens and Mallory McMorrow.
I'm going to frame that a little different.
Okay.
I don't believe in left and right. I instead believe, are you part of the system locking people out, or are you working for the people who want to unlock the system for them? I'm focused on unlocking the system. I'm the only person running in this race who hasn't touched a dime of corporate money. When I ran in 2018 for governor, some of your listeners might remember that, Blue Cross Blue Shield spent $300,000 to beat me. DTE spent $200,000 to beat me. And so my point is, if you don't quite like the fact that Blue Cross Blue Shield is raising your premiums 15% this year and DTE has raised your rates 40% for the same stupid lights that you turn on every day, then maybe I might be your guy.
And just for the record, you said they spent that much money to beat you. Who came in first in that primary?
Well, I ran in a three-way primary
Yes, that did.
Included me, Sri Tanadar, and Governor Whitmer.
Okay, got you. You don't follow or track left or right, but of course, what you just laid out there is more on the left side. Is progressive politics having a moment, considering we're seeing Zoran Mamdani, the front runner, the Democratic nominee for the next New York City mayor? Do you see it that way? And I know it gets thrown out there in a lot of columns, but do you see you yourself as Michigan's Mamdani, as it were?
I'll leave that to smarter people than me to decide. I'm just going to say this. I think right now, working people are deeply frustrated. Life has never felt more unattainable, and folks are looking for real solutions to solve that. I want to be on the side of fighting for working people. Everywhere I go, I told you I've done 99 events now. Everywhere I go, there's a contingent of people who voted for Donald Trump. And it's not that they're coming to hear me because they think I'm the progressive candidate. They're coming to hear me because they think I have real ideas and a track record of fighting for them that would make their lives easier. And this is why I push back against this idea of left and right, because I'm in these rooms hearing what people are sharing with me and sharing what I'm sharing and watching their eyes. And one guy told me, he said, look, when you ran in 2018, I hated you. I was like, why is that? He's like, well, you're Muslim. I was like, well, I hate to tell you, I'm still Muslim. He's like, I know. But it's like you were sitting in my home listening to the fights I have with my wife about what we can afford and what we can't. And you're trying to make it better for me and her and our kids. And so I'm here because I know you've got real solutions for those problems. And so that's not a left or a right thing. That is are you on the side of right or wrong? And I think right now working people have been locked out of the lives that in this country had been a foregone conclusion that you could attain for a very long time for certain groups of people. And now it's becoming unattainable for anyone, let alone folks who've been locked out even before. And so this is a campaign to bring people together across our differences, to recognize that we can have nice things if we're willing to fight for them together, to break the barriers of geography, the barriers of race and ethnicity and faith and sexual orientation and gender identity, to actually reach across the divides and say, this should be a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. It is time that the people stood up and took it back.
you were able to get that guy into the room with you. How do you get more people like him into that room? Because there is still a significant portion of the population who sees a name like Abdul El Sayed and they're like, hard no.
Yeah, I've been Abdul my whole life, right? I was Abdul when I got voted captain of my high school football team and wrestling team and lacrosse team by people who weren't named Abdul, who didn't have names like mine. And the reason they supported me is because my whole life I've been explaining myself. And so you get pretty good at explaining yourself. And I've learned that when people get past the name, they're a lot more interested in what you have to say. And I'll be honest with you, look, if you're not supporting me because my name's Abdul, you're probably not supporting a Democrat anyway, right? But there are a lot of people who are looking at this race and asking, which one of you is willing to stand up for me when it's hard? And I've been at this now for 10 years. I'm not just a guy named Abdul. I'm the guy named Abdul who eliminated medical debt for Wayne County. I'm the guy named Abdul who stood up and took on corporate polluters. I'm the guy named Abdul that helped to rewrite the state's lead laws after Flint when we had every school, daycare, and Head Start in Detroit tested for lead in the water. I'm the guy named Abdul who put glasses on tens of thousands of kids' faces. So I've been at this for a minute. And so my job isn't to worry so much about those folks. My job is to keep having a conversation with Michiganders, like I've been doing now for 10 years, about what we can do together. And I think that regardless of my name, Michiganders are really good people. And they're asking which person here is going to stand up to this system and unlock it for me. And I take nothing for granted. So we're crisscrossing the state to have that conversation in people's living rooms and in VFW halls and union halls. And I think it's resonating. And I believe deeply in this state and its people. And I think if you're willing to have an honest conversation, if you're willing to be truthful and direct and specific about what you want to do, people are willing to listen.
Will people within the Democratic Party listen? Because there has been a history of gatekeeping within the Democratic Party. And there has been a consistent movement within the state. Like, you know what? I like what he's got to say. And he makes a lot of great points. But
his name's Abdul.
Yeah.
I happen to have some experience with this. And I'll tell you this. I don't think it really matters. I think right now we are in a place where there is so much profound frustration about the chasm between the Democratic Party writ large and its voters. And I think any Democratic leader who wants to win elections in the future should be less worried about who holds the luxury suite on the top of the Titanic and more worried about getting in the engine room and saving the Titanic, which is where we are. So I'm not so worried about fighting these inner party fights. I'm a lot more worried about getting all over my state and having conversations that start with listening to people's pain and then proposing policy that would fix it. And I think if we do that, we can win an election. At the end of the day, we still have a democracy if we're willing to keep it. Now, a lot of folks will tell us, look, hey, democracy is on its last legs, and I agree. But if you want to save democracy, you cannot treat democracy as it's this thing that sits on the mantelpiece. You have to be willing to deal with the fact that for a lot of people, democracy has not delivered the basic means of a dignified life for a very long time now. And until we're serious about addressing why, which is the spending of corporations to corrupt politics and politicians on both sides of the aisle, then I worry that we're not going to actually fix this thing and we may lose our democracy. And I say this as a kid who was a child of Egyptian immigrants who spent many of my summers in a place where the walls had ears, where you did not have freedom of speech. You didn't even pretend to have freedom of speech. I know what we're fighting for, and it is long past time for us to get serious about that fight. And getting serious about that fight means making sure that democracy can deliver for folks and can protect our basic rights.
If you're not getting that money from corporations, if you might not down the road be getting that money from the Democratic Party, where are you getting your money?
Well, I happen to know that you guys are in the middle of your fall drive, and I think that people should definitely join and become members of WDET 101.9 FM.
Pandering will get you nowhere.
I happen to get money the same way you do. I ask the public to support me. And as we do that, we've found that there are 17,000 donors as of June who wanted to be a part of this. I get $100 checks from folks in the middle of the state telling me, look, you know, I've never met you, but I love what you have to say. And I think we'd be better off if more doctors, folks who wanted to stand up for everyday people, were in politics. So we outraised our corporate-funded opponent by $500,000 last quarter alone. And it turns out that when you are honest and you are true and you are specific and you are direct, that there are a lot of people who want to see that in the politics. And, you know, we happen to have a thing called the internet. Don't love everything it does. But one of the things I do love that it does is it allows you to get your message out to people who otherwise might not hear about you, and they can support you. And folks can go to AbdulForSenate.com and also support WDET while you're at it.
In last year's presidential campaign, an inconvenient fact that kind of weighed down the Democratic Party was the ongoing conflict, Israel's attacks in Gaza. The UN Commission on the Occupied Palestinian Territory found that Israel is committing genocide in Gaza. You've been a critic of Israel's attacks on Palestinians. How does this issue specifically affect this race? And do you feel any vindication giving the words and the report from the UN today?
Vindication is not what I'm for. I want our tax dollars to stop killing children. And you don't have to be a human rights expert to see the deaths of 18,500 kids, the attempt to render their homes unlivable, to destroy their parents' lives and livelihoods, and to ship them off into another place because they happen to speak the same language and call that what it's called. And the fact that our party was on the wrong side of that obvious truth for a very long time is itself an indictment. And so—
Is the party still on the wrong side?
Look, too many in the
politicians,
party.
Maybe not necessarily the public.
So the public understands. They see. And I'll tell you, I told you, I've been all over our state. And you could be in like Escanaba, where you wouldn't think that Gaza would be the big line in which people show their frustration. But when I start talking about the fact that in an era where our kids' schools are crumbling, maybe instead of sending blank checks to foreign militaries to subsidize genocide and destroy their schools, we could invest in our schools. That line is the biggest applause line in my whole speech, in Escanaba, in Petoskey, in Clare, and in Dearborn, and in Detroit. And so, yes, this is going to play a huge role, because if you can't take on the established wisdom, the enforced wisdom in your own party, because MAGA billionaires tell you you cannot say certain things, it is rich for them to step up and say, yeah, we're going to take on Donald Trump and we're going to fight for better health care and more affordable health care. It's become a Rorschach test on values. And we live in a state with a substantial Arab Muslim community. And I think for a long time, politicians have assumed that folks are just going to look at another way as they watch their tax dollars get sent abroad to kill kids who look like their kids. And I'm so sorry, but you cannot continue to ask people to ignore the obvious and think somehow they're going to support you. And so I think we need to get right on this. And one of the reasons I'm running foundationally, because my whole career has been about giving people healthcare. I wrote the book on Medicare for All. I rebuilt Detroit's health department and served the largest health department in the entire state, aside from the state's health department here in Wayne County. That's been my work, because I'm driven by a certain set of values that human life is precious and we should support it and protect it. And the idea that we're sending our money abroad to take lives instead of investing in protecting our lives here at home, that's insanity. And the idea that that shouldn't be obvious for the Democratic Party, that I think has cost the party dearly. So look, I think the only way to win is to be honest about our values, to apply our principles everywhere, and to be specific and direct about what we want to do to fix these problems, whether it's providing healthcare and education to our kids here at home, or it's protecting people abroad from the misuse of our tax dollars to fund genocide.
Abdul El-Sayed is running to be Detroit's, or make that Michigan's, next U.S. senator. But first, he's got to make it through the primary. He's facing off with Congresswoman Haley Stevens and State Senator Mallory McMorrow. Abdul, I'm sure we'll talk again in the next year. It's a long way until the primary.
It absolutely is. I look forward to it. And again, to good folks listening, I do hope that you'll support WDET. I will say that the biggest challenge that we face right now is an information environment that puts the worst kind of mis and disinformation forward. This radio station is a bulwark for democracy, lowercase d, and I hope that folks will support you. So I'm really grateful to be here. I'm grateful to you for taking the time to chat. I look forward to the next one.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.